Hey, good morning, everybody. It's actually good evening.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter where you are in the world, but it's either good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. And it is good evening. It is 6 o'clock Pacific time. And we want to welcome you to the call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, A Church with No Walls.
Exactly. We're so glad to have you. You know, most people join us here a little bit late, and also they join us tomorrow or the next year or the next day. And
yeah, this becomes
our podcast. So I want to make sure you're on the right Facebook page, because Tina said she's on there and I don't see her. Oh, there's one person. So anyway, we want to welcome you all to The Call. This is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries, A Church in No Walls. My name is Donna Schuller. This is Robert Schuller. We come to you live on the 15th of the month. For the last 10 years, there's something we call simply The Call. So if you're on here, you were called to be here. We also have people here online, on our conference line. That's how we started. We started on conference line before Facebook Live was a thing. And now we're on Facebook Live. And we have an amazing guest for you tonight. We're going to open with prayer. We're going to have some preliminaries, reading of scripture, and then we're going to introduce our amazing guest. Funny thing is, our guest is actually the founder of Relationship Lifeline. That's not the funny part. She's great at what she does. She's a relationship expert. But here's what's amazing. Of all the guests we've had over the last 10 years, she is by far the most popular. Tina, I don't know. I know you're listening, but if you hear this, when you hear this, you need to know you are the most popular guest. We've had over 30,000 people hear your message. So that's pretty cool. Like I said, we post this to our podcast. If you ever are interested in our podcast, just Google Robert Schuller Ministries podcast. It'll come up. That's all you need to know. I don't need to give out a URL or anything, but we will put this on the recording and it'll be there forever and ever and ever. So, Robert, you want to start out with a prayer?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
You bet. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this time. We pray for those around the world who are struggling right now. We specifically want to pray for the standoff that's taking place in Texas and the synagogue. We pray that there will be a peaceful conclusion, that no one will be injured, that that everyone will put down their weapons and put down their anger and come out in peace. And so we pray, oh Lord, for that positive, joyful reunion of family members as they're released and are able to hug each other. So we pray, Lord, for all those who are fighting diseases today, from cancer to heart problems to you know what the challenges are that people face today, Lord. We pray that your healing hand will come and touch their eyes and open their eyes, touch their hearts and open their love, touch their minds and give them clarity and remove all of the negative cells that are within their bodies and give them health. We pray right now, Lord, for the families and the relationships that are struggling, that you will bring peace, that you will bring love, and that your love will continue to permeate all of the families. And from that, Lord, the relationships internationally and around the world. So may your peace prevail today, tomorrow, and always. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. So you have a scripture for us.
I haven't read this for a while, I don't think, but it's a magnificent scripture. It's Psalm 91, and hopefully I can read it without my glasses here. I didn't trim it out, and it's a little bit small, but I think I can do that. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near you. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tents, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up and in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will not tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will restore him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
The word of the Lord. Powerful words, eh? Powerful words.
Okay. I'm trying to see. Okay.
Well, you're trying to see if she's on?
Tina is on. She said
okay.
She's on. I'm going to care.
So hopefully we can click there. And
Janet Jones, nope. We have Claudia, Brenda, Lawrence, Janet, Judith, and Dana, or
but
Jeff,
she doesn't
request. So,
Tina, can you request
to be on? I think you need to request. See, there's people that have little blue, like even, underneath people, it says bring them on camera with a blue little click on that, but I cannot see you. Wait a minute. Let me go up. Maybe she's on earlier. My brother's on. Okay, my brother is on Claudia. Shoot, cancel. Invite Jeff on camera. I could do that. My mom, happy Saturday, but she's not asked to be on camera. Brenda, Judith, Anthony, Judith. That's so funny.
So we spent a couple hours today trying to make this
work.
Dana,
bring them on camera.
So,
Dana, I love you, but you're not our guest. So, Tina, yes, bring them on camera. Let's see. Tina can join you. Yes, send an invite. I sent it. If this works, this will be our first time doing a screen. And once you're added, I'm going to introduce you. Yes. Lord, please, yes. Pray with
adding,
us.
Adding.
Tina, you're on there.
So Tina's
going to pop up here next to us. I know she will, and we have good internet now. We just got new service. And it's, we've got everything going. Sorry, Judith, I'm reading what you're saying. It has nothing to do with adding a guest, but maybe your internet is not good. We just bought a whole new router. It says adding, Tina.
Okay,
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Adding. I think you have to push something else now. I don't know.
Do you have to push accept, Tina? Is there an accept there for you?
Let me tell you a little bit about Tina, because if this doesn't work, she's going to call in. We're going to hear her in voice only, even though I love seeing her face, and I love seeing her expressions as she speaks, and what she has to tell us is super important stuff. So we first met Tina a few years ago. Oh, connection failed. Oh, come on. Okay, let's go. I'm going to do it again. Tina is watching Bring Them on Camera. One more time. You can do that, and I can keep talking. Bring Them on Camera. Yep, right here. Add. I'm adding. Invite. Okay, I invited you again. It says adding.
So, Tina, you should see something that comes up that says accept invitation or join. Again, we have not been successful on doing this on Facebook. We've tried numerous times.
And we're going to hire somebody to help us next month. We're just getting them in here before the 15th. This is not going to happen again. I don't like failing. and we're not failing. But let me tell you something. If you'll watch that and take care of that, I'm going to read about Tina. So Tina has been a a family systems relationship expert for years and years. I want to say more than 20 years, 25 years maybe. We met her a few years ago, and we actually attended one of her life transformational relationship seminars. It's called Relationship Lifeline. And let me tell you why this is so important, because this is something that is never done to you or for you, but it can only be done by you. In other words, the self-examination it takes to be a better person, to have stronger, healthier relationships, is up to you. It's not to your mate. It's not to your best friend. It's not up to anybody but you. So even if you're not married or seriously involved with a member of the opposite sex, with a partner, you can still benefit from this weekend. It's fantastic. And I know this isn't confidential. My youngest son, Anthony, and his wife went. It was transformational for them. It's hard to explain. I'm going to have her come on the phone pretty soon, and we'll talk to her about it. But she also wrote a book. Let me just tell you about her book. She's written several books. But her last book, right before the big C, she wrote this. It came out in 2019, was How God Used the Other Woman. Yep, you heard that. How God Used the Other Woman, Saving Your Marriage After Infidelity. So she's experienced that. She talks all very candidly about that. What happened with she and her husband's longtime healthy marriage, which she thought was healthy, and then how they got back together, patched everything up, and I'll let her tell you what happened after that. But they worked through that because of the ideas and the concepts and the practical application that she teaches others on how to have a better relationship. There is a part of Relationship Lifeline that is really grueling and difficult, but it's worth it. I mean, we went through it strictly to observe as pastors so that we could refer people. But I got to tell you, it's one of the best things I've ever done. And, you know, Robert, it's a big deal now. People love going overseas to retreats. And, you know, it's a big deal trying to get in touch with your inner self. And it always, it should have always been a big deal, but it's sort of like the thing to do now. Well, this is right here in California, right here in Orange County. And you can come out here, you can spend a couple days in a hotel by the Orange County Airport, or you can, you know, rent a place, stay with a friend, whatever. But you don't have to go out of the country to transform your life to be healthier. So let's see. Tina, would you please, I don't think it's going
to. We can try one more time.
Okay.
I just need to make sure, Tina, that you have your camera.
She does. Already told
on me. Landscape?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then don't even bother. Just call in to our phone call.
Yeah, I gave it to her.
Okay, I think you have that. But
yeah,
if anyone else wants to call in, it's 667-770 is the wrong number for us.
No.
They need the...
No, 770.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yikes. Says that it's not a good phone
number. Yeah, 667-770-1538. I'm just... I'm reading it right off the website.
So try it again, Tina. 667.
And we're on it.
770-1538. And then the participation code, once you get there?
Yeah.
Oh, you
she's
have
got that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's got that.
So
we're waiting. So what else can we talk about, Robert?
So
let's talk about technology and how much we love it.
I love technology when it works, and I hate it when it doesn't.
Yeah, and, you know, we work here from our townhome here, so we finally got so frustrated with the Internet not working as it should that Robert went down to the provider's place. We bought their router. We got their upgraded service. I mean, now, we're paying as much as we have to pay to get good Internet.
We're paying the max.
The max. But, you know, we have our ministry
so
office here.
So hopefully it works better. But anyway,
yeah,
so hopefully Tina will be able to call in here.
You know what, Tina? Maybe it's because you're in Canada. I wonder. I don't think so. This goes to
other countries. So.
But it is a good number, 667-770-1538. That's what we call. We're using our cell phones.
Otherwise, call Donna's cell phone, Tina, if you're listening and if you can hear me, call Donna's cell phone. then I will add her and she will be on this line.
Oh, he knows how to do that.
Yep. So if you can't get through on the
Thank you, Janet. Aloha.
Oh, aloha.
Yeah. You know, this is really important what we're going to talk about here. And, you know, if for some reason Tina can't join us, I've already told you a lot about her, and maybe she can make comments on Facebook and stuff. But, you know, our relationships are the most important thing to us. Obviously, our relationship with God, first of all, our family of origin is important. But once we get married, it's our spouse, our children. And, you know, relationships are important. It's what keeps the globe kind of semi-intact right now. But there's a lot of relationship problems. And we love to point the finger at other people, don't we? We just love to say, it's your fault. It's my fault. Actually, you know, it takes two, right? So it's never any one person's fault. People, we each have a responsibility. And the goal is not to change the other person, because that doesn't work. If you've tried it, I have. It doesn't work. But
we all have.
You have to change yourself. You really have to take a deep look at yourself, self-reflection. You have to spend time alone with God and yourself. Oh, okay, I got through now, but what does it say now?
It says the access code is wrong. Try 642-848.
And pound.
And then hit the pound sign.
She's going to come on. We're going to hear her.
I think we're going to hear her.
We're going to hear her voice. And next month when we have a guest, we're going to see the person.
Hopefully.
We are. I'm hiring somebody. I don't care.
It may not be a matter of hiring. It may be a matter of Facebook, in which case.
Oh, somebody came on. Oh, you have a Laguna Beach number?
I'm on F here.
You.
It is me.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Yay.
You know,
okay,
I can see
Robert's going to put a mic up.
So the people from Facebook.
Okay, so I can see you. I could see you on Facebook. And I heard you say you're trying to add me in, and I was chatting with you in the chat box, but I wasn't getting an invite.
Oh, wait, look at that. What's that? Oh, yeah, see?
So, anyway.
Okay, we tried.
We don't
want
to spend any more time doing this, because we want to get the information that you have for us. And so Tina, what is the... When is your next relationship lifeline?
It is January. It's next week. It's next weekend, Friday to Sunday, January.
The perfect timing.
Yeah,
for this
21st.
Call.
Wow. Yes, okay. It's perfect time.
Okay.
We do. We've got probably about 6-7 spots.
Awesome. Okay, and. You know, people need to know this is not just for couples. You know, you see this all the time. A husband and wife are not getting along, or maybe when we attended, we met people that already filed for divorce, and somehow, miraculously, they were able to save their marriage. And I know that happens all the time, but what if the other spouse member doesn't want to come? They just dig their heels in the sand. They say, absolutely not. Well, can a person benefit by coming alone?
Yes, there is huge benefit. I think, Donna, you've heard me say this before, that, you know, one help person in the relationship can change everything. And the difference with Relationship Lifeline and maybe other couples retreats or couples, you know, seminars, is that we really work on the individual first.
Right.
Because I believe that if we are healthy ourselves, then we make healthy decisions. You know, a lot of people feel that, and there's a lot of reasons why sometimes the spouse doesn't want to come. And one of those reasons is because really they're done and they don't want anything else to try to save them or save the marriage. And that's where we kind of, you know, I think are different. We're not trying to save the marriage. We're trying to get two people healthy, so that they're making healthy decisions, not angry decisions, not hurt decisions. And if, you know, closure is what the healthy decision is, then so be it, you know. And so it's not about trying to save every marriage, but it is about trying to get each individual who is an adult no longer be a victim to their anger, a victim to, you know, their unhealthy thoughts, and just a victim to the no hope thing. And especially, you know, my heart is really for kids. And so,
know.
You know, you never want the kids to get stuck in the middle.
Mm-hmm. I know. Right. Tell me, we're talking about kids, and we just, you know, we just went through Christmas and New Year's and before that Thanksgiving, just all these holidays. And what is it?
Yeah.
I mean, these holidays just really can bring out the happy memories, but they can also bring out the anger, as you said, and the sad memories, the times where we had some maybe small tragedies, small T's and big T's in our life. And why is it people, or is it true, people act out more in the holidays?
They do act out more, and I think it's because it's an emotional time. And, you know, I mean, also all the other stuff that's been going on for the last 2 years hasn't helped.
Yeah.
But I think mainly the holidays have always been stressful because of obligations, because of expectations, one family, another family. And then that's where, for me, it has always been one of the saddest times for people that are not together. And so now the children have to be their Christmas Eve or their Christmas morning. Everything is different. And so it's just stressful in, I don't know if you can call it normal anymore, but whatever we used to think was normal, it's already stressful. Just because of heightened expectations and families and work things and one party after another, shopping, all of it. You know, years ago, I think my kids were basically tweens. And my husband and I looked at each other and we thought, we just don't want to do this anymore. I come from a big Italian family. So even if you don't know the cousin, you got to buy a gift. You know, and so it was so stressful. I honestly, it was like, and when we tried to introduce the game, you know, the gift game where you only buy one gift and you bring it, and it's not supposed to be more than $25, well, that did not go over well in my family. It was like the worst idea ever, and you were looked at like irresponsible, uncaring, you know, and there was always things over all of that. And I remember one year, Ron and I just said, why don't we ask the kids if they want gifts or a vacation? And they
Good
voted
idea.
Vacation. We started, you know, we started
I'm
selling
sure
Mexico and Hawaii and cruises to them, you know.
Yeah.
And then we got together with the extended.
Time.
Yeah. And you know what? We started talking to the extended family. And I said, you know, Mom and Dad give us a little money for Christmas, and we could save all year long and not buy any gifts for anybody, and I'm pretty sure we can get to Mexico on it, you know. And you know what? Every year since then, that's what we did. And still to this day, my grandchildren know they're going to get a very small gift, but they're going to get an airline ticket to somewhere, you know. And it's been a bit harder with COVID.
That's
but,
so good.
You know, that's been... Because then we're making memories. Then we're spending, you know, time together. It's a whole week instead of one night and one day that all that stress is for. It's sort of like the wedding day, you know. You stress over a year for a wedding day. And then it's all done in that one day. And I think holidays are just like that, you know, mini wedding type idea and all the arrangements. And then if there's emotional stuff, if, you know, for myself, you know, my husband died on Christmas Day 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So as sad as that sounds, for us, Christmas Day is very sacred. And we don't allow ourselves to get all, you know, messed up. Because somebody died that day that we loved very much. And so we keep that day as a day of peace. You know, we'll watch a video of memories of him and us and vacations and that sort of thing. So I think it's all intentional too. it's deciding what's important. And we decided as a family to sit down and ask our children, what do they love about Christmas? And besides the odd present here and there that they might say, we just kind of said, well, what if you only get one present, but we go away? Right? So,
love that.
Of course, being Canadian, that's very attractive because Christmas time around here is cold and wet.
Cold, yeah.
Well, you know, so you brought up, you what? Say it again.
I said we didn't have a hard time selling it. But, you know, I've spoken it. Now my kids are grown.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I tell families that. It doesn't have to be Mexico. It doesn't have to be, you know, you can do small vacation. Like this year, we went up to Whistler and took the kids skiing for 3 days.
Oh, Whistler.
You know, so it doesn't have to be thousands of dollars.
Yeah, Whistler's pretty.
So
you brought Ron up, and I know you guys started your coaching business, your relationship business together. And I, of course, I don't know if you heard me say, you know, you're the author of How God Used the Other Women, Saving Your Marriage After Infidelity. So, you know, we have to talk about that because I know people always want to hear about that. People are, at first, some people are incredulous. They can't believe that, you know, that you did what you did and that you were able to take your husband back and develop a great relationship after that up until the time he died. So can you tell us, I know you shared before when you were on here, a year, maybe a year and a half, maybe it was before COVID actually, so a couple of years, more than
years
ago. So if you could just, you know, catch the people up that are going to be hearing this for the first time and share about, you know, what you would, what you share in your seminars about healing a relationship after infidelity.
Yeah, and then that's why, you know, the title of the book has gotten some critical, you know, reviews, just the title itself.
Right.
I'm glad, you know, the couple of people that gave the reviews that this was awful, that they at least admitted they didn't read the book because it can be misleading thinking that, well, I thought at least if you're going to criticize, be honest, you know, so I give them that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the reason for me, God used the other woman, is really a heartfelt moment of where I recognize God can turn the worst thing, you know, that could happen in a marriage. And I believe that's it. And, you know, I used to hear this said, Donna. I used to hear people say that death of a spouse is easier than the betrayal of a spouse. Now, I've been in both places. So now I understand. And though I miss him terribly every single day of my life, and you know, one day God will have to explain himself on that one. But, you know, things happen and people die. But I think I understand what that means. You see, his death was not his choice. He didn't choose to leave me. He didn't choose to leave his children. Death happened, as death is part of life. Whereas when you are betrayed, that sick feeling that you get is that that's a decision he made with full knowledge of it being wrong, with full knowledge of how it could hurt not only your marriage but your children, that he loved beyond love, you know, and that's why it hurt them so much, because they didn't think that there was any other father out there that was as perfect as he was. And as a dad, I'll tell you, 99.9% is what he was rated till that affair. And so that is what I think they mean by saying it's easier to grieve death than it is to grieve an affair. So how did I end up with a better marriage after the affair?
Right.
And that's why Relationship Lifeline is set up the way that it is. You see, I had to realize that saving my marriage couldn't be my number one goal at that point, because I honestly believed that if that had ever happened, like in my belief system, that was the one thing that I always believed, divorce was the only answer, that there was no question. you wouldn't even try to restore. When you're betrayed like that, it's done. So knowing that, it was a real God moment when God kind of just, you know, I call it my mirror moment. You know, it was the morning after I found out and I was alone. He was visiting his dad and I was alone. And I had that mirror moment where, you know, I'm looking in the mirror and I just feel sick and I just can't believe this is happening. I think I've woken up from a nightmare, but I realize it's not. It's real. And, you know, I hear God's voice saying, don't cry. I thought, don't cry. Okay, how do I even stop at this point? But ask yourself the question. And the voice was so clear, like it wasn't audible, it was just really clear though. And the question that I was to ask myself was, what part did I play in it? And so that is where the book has gotten some criticism, because really I don't want people to hear that the person that has been betrayed has played any part in the affair.
Mm-hmm.
That is a personal decision. Anytime we choose to sin, anytime we choose to make a bad decision, that's on us 100%, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I want people to hear that. But deeper than that was, what part did I play that got our marriage to a place that either one of us could make a decision of going outside the marriage? And I had to first realize I was not infallible. It could have happened to me based on what I was willing to see after I accepted the question really was from God.
Mm-hmm.
At first I fought it, you know, and I thought, this is the enemy and I'm the victim here. And again, you've heard me say many times, you know, we may be victims in a moment, but to stay a victim as an adult is a personal choice.
Right.
And children are victims because they don't have the power of decision, but we are not. And so I had to decide, God, are you really talking to me? And if you are, you're really going to have to show me what part I've played in it. Because it can't be that I didn't make dinner six nights a week. You know, it can't be that my laundry basket, you know, once too many times didn't get taken care of on time. You know, it can't be that I was rude once in a while. I said, because I could accept all that, but that would have been 5 years ago. What is it now? Because we had been working on our marriage. We were in marriage, well, we were in counseling ministry. And so,
right.
you know, we worked with people, and this came at a time where it didn't make sense. And that, I hope, is an encouragement to listeners. It doesn't always make sense, the timing of it. It doesn't always make sense that, you know, your marriage isn't that bad, and so it kind of hits you from left field, you know. Things happen sometimes that when we're vulnerable, and vulnerability hits opportunity, you fall. So I'm going to say that again. So when you're vulnerable in another area and you're weak, and then there's opportunity, like opportunity being someone understands what you're being vulnerable about. That's all it took.
Mm-hmm.
See, at that time was the first time Ron was ever hurting in a way that was emotional. He just wasn't that way. He was your happy guy. He didn't really know what depression was. He didn't understand it. He knew even less about anxiety. He understood stress, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's, okay, you're stressed and you look for, you know, he was that guy that looked for answers. There's always a solution to a problem. And that's how he led life. And I'm more high strung, right? And he would always say, really, is it helping out, like, that you're so stressed out? So this was the first time that he faced, I know that he would just look at me and think that there was logic to stress, you know, or logic to, because he could make it logical. If it's stressful, what steps do we need to take? And it drove me even more crazy. But one of the things that I never expected and was very foreign to me is when his mom got cancer and she was in the last stages, he shut down. And he emotionally wasn't there. He wasn't playing with the kids. It was Christmas time. That was his favorite time of year. He wasn't putting up lights. He didn't want to put up the tree. And I said, and then the worst part came when he wouldn't go visit his mom. So now you got to understand the home I grew up in, you do things out of obligation. You do things because it's expected of you. And so, hey, babe, like, doesn't matter if you feel like it or not, you need to go to the hospital and you need to be there with her, right? And I'd hear him make excuses right. that he was working with his sister, and his sister says, she's in her last days. You need to get here. And he was just avoiding, avoiding, avoiding. And so finally, when I didn't know what to do, I asked my friend. I said, listen, you've had the death of a parent. I haven't. Can you do something? So back to now, vulnerability meets opportunity. So see, they touched each other at a place of pain. That's the vulnerability. She totally understood his pain. I didn't. I was just, do what you need to do. She's dying. First of all, you need to accept it. And secondly, you need to be there. So there was no empathy. There was nothing, like nothing. I felt bad, but I didn't know how to show it. And so now back to the mirror moment. Does that make sense so far?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think, okay, our friend can help him. But now he's in a weakened state, and instead of his wife being there consoling him, she is. And it feels good. He's never been nurtured before. He's never been consoled before. And neither does he know he ever needed it because he never did. Now we go to the question in the mirror that saved my marriage. When God said, look at what part you played in this marriage that brought you here. Not to the affair, but brought me to not being able to be there for my husband. And that's where in the book, it's I think the best chapter in the book, where it describes what I call, for those of us that are old enough to remember that movie, it's a better, what was the movie called? Oh my goodness, I got to look in the book for it. You know where he goes back and
I don't have your book here.
You know that movie, The Better Life or something, or with Dick Van Dyke, remember? He wishes he was never born, and then he sees his life without,
I'm just not old enough
you know.
To remember that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll get it. You wait. But it's that moment, you know, where I kind of get
It's a wonderful
a revelation. Like, I get taken back in time. Is really what happens. I get taken back in time, and it's like, it's seconds. And I said to, when I said, God, you show me, if this is you, because I'm pretty sure you're not condemning me about the meals, you know, or this or that. So if this is you, then this is deep. And he did. He transported me in time, and I went to a place where I was 22, 23 years old, and I was in a funeral home, and I knew exactly where I was, because at that time, a man that I loved very much was not married to him, had hoped that he was my husband, had believed God brought him into my life to be, my, you know, that Christian bridal college thing, you know, Bible school, meet at Bible school, and he's definitely your husband, that sort of thing. That's the state I was in. Well, a couple of years after we were kind of dating and kind of talking future, he got cancer, and he was 25 years old. I was 22 or 23.
Wow.
And one year, he had to move back in with his parents because he couldn't take care of himself. And for 1 year, I was there every day, driving him to appointments, driving him to chemo. And on that day, in that funeral home where God took me, I just went, okay, this is too weird. Because I felt like I was looking over his body in that funeral home, and I saw a rose on his chest. Now, I remember that. I remember putting a rose on his chest. What I didn't remember was what I said when I placed that rose on his chest, and that was, I vowed I will never Now, a vow usually says always or never. And in that vow, I said, I will never love a man like that again. So there was a part of my heart, and it went deep because I thought, "What? Okay, God, yes, I do remember saying that, but I have loved Ron with all of my heart." And he showed me the nurture part of my heart. And, you know, that nurture part of my heart where, you know, you make the chicken soup when they're sick, and that nurture part of the heart where you have empathy when they're hurting, even my own children would say, "Mom, can you just be a mom? Like, could you make us some chicken soup? We're actually really sick." And I'd say, "You're not sick enough. Get up, go to school." Like, there was no nurture. I did not want to feel sickness. I did not want to deal with sickness. That part of my heart had been shut down and become a hardened heart. And so that brings us to Relationship Lifeline, where we taught, and the verse that God brought out that we worked on for 2 years to restore our marriage was the verse in Matthew 19:8, where it says, "Because of the hardness of the heart, Moses allowed divorce." And that's what God showed me. Not all my little mistakes and all the times maybe I didn't apologize. I mean, those all have value. And those are all about making a better relationship. You know, we need to work on those things. But when you come from a place where your heart is hardened, either with anger or vows or things you saw, heard, and experienced, many of us have said, you know, "I'll never be like my dad. I'll never do this," or "I'll always be kind to my children. I would never speak to my children like that." All those kind of things that we make as internal vows as children is because of hurt. So because of my hurt that day, I had blocked off my heart. I'd created some hardness of heart so that when my husband needed it, I couldn't give it. And that was the hardness of heart that I had to work with. Now, when we started discovering this, you know, there was hardness in his heart towards me because my anger would really trigger him, and he would just, I say my anger, but, you know, I'm Italian, and so it's not even anger, right?
You're
just loud.
Exactly.
You know, you'll know when I'm angry. I'll tell you when I'm angry. But for Ron, raising my voice or speaking with expression or my tone, he would call it my tone, that was his hardness of heart because he grew up in a home that when his dad raised his voice, everybody scattered. So to him, it's when I raised my voice, it's like exit stage left. When nothing got me more mad than that, now I'm angry. Prior to that, I wasn't even angry, but he exits just from expression or the voice raising, right? So we have to learn a lot of things.
We have talked a lot, and this is the first time I've heard the details of your story, and it's very enlightening. I don't remember hearing this story when we were in Relationship Lifeline. I don't remember hearing this story when we've interviewed you in the past, but unfortunately, I feel like our time is we need to wrap this up. And I want to encourage people, if you know of anybody whose relationships are struggling right now, Relationship Lifeline can help. And the timing is perfect.
Yeah.
You didn't plan it with this in mind.
I did not. Nope.
But a week from now, you'll be starting a new Lifetime weekend. Is that correct? Lifeline weekend?
Yes.
It starts on...
Yes.
So what do they do if somebody wants to participate?
So I would suggest they go to relationshiplifeline.org, or if it's easier for them to go to tinaconkin.com, that's fine too, but relationshiplifeline.org. And we do offer, they don't have to make a commitment to the 3-day, but we do offer a free coaching session and see if we're right for you, see if the program mm-hmm. is right for you, see if we can just even help you, you know, get through. I believe God is in restoring the brokenhearted. And that is yep. the main, I think that, for us, that is our mission, healing relationships one broken heart at a time. And so if we can help heal broken hearts first, then work on the relationship, then I believe that we're doing what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 19:8, and that is look at the hardness of heart that is breaking down relationships. And, you know, that's not just, you know, I'm glad you said, Donna, earlier that individuals can come too. They don't have to be married. Families come, mm-hmm. parents with their mm-hmm. teenage kids come, or adult kids. It is about relationships, and we all have them, including the relationship we have with ourselves. And so because it is centered around the hardness of our heart, whatever that is, you heard what mine was, and that was mm-hmm. closing off mm-hmm. my heart because of fear of hurt.
Yes.
And we all have something. I wanted to say that maybe I don't think I said this before you got on, because remember, for those of you that just joined us, we were struggling and trying to do this flip screen and have Tina join us live. I'm assuming you're in Canada, okay. right? I think I kind of asked you that.
I am in Canada.
Okay, so we couldn't get her here in our home tonight live, which we did a couple of years ago, but we were trying to flip screen. That didn't work, so now she's on our conference line, but I'm not sure if I said this, but what
is we will put this on our podcast.
Yes, it'll be on our podcast. We'll also repost it on Facebook. But I just wanted to talk about, or just say, that concept of R3, the revealing your past hurts, pains, hardness of heart, right? Rewriting
yeah.
that, right? Reframing, rewriting, and then renewing. Yeah. And that gets into what you were yeah. saying, that God's in the renewal business. That's yeah. what he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
God
better.
Yeah.
And
yes.
we can't say
and
enough
you see,
about
the reason,
everything.
Yeah, and the reason, Donna, that is so important, I'm glad you said that, is because
yes.
God's in the business of renewing. But if we first don't reveal, I didn't know what the hardness mm-hmm. of the heart was. I didn't know what my hardness mm-hmm. of heart was. And many of us mm-hmm. don't. And so relationships die and, you know, get messed up because we don't know how to reveal that hardness of heart. And so that's why mm-hmm. the reveal is so important. And then the rewrite of our feelings, the rewrite of, okay, I was a hurting 20-year-old at that time. I can mm-hmm. heal now, right? So that's the rewriting the story. At that time, it was just too painful.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, we could
yeah.
talk for so long about this. And, I mean, I'm thinking
yeah.
about what you said earlier about unmet expectations. Think about how many expectations each of us brings into every single day of our life. And our relationships are the closest. We have the most expectations of... And we all come from a different background with all these different desires
yeah.
and all these different things that need to be revealed, right? So it's no wonder
yeah.
relationships can be so incredible but so challenging. So we just,
yeah.
we so much appreciate you being here, Tina. Now, if anybody has any questions, mm-hmm. if they just write them down on the Facebook page, will you just scroll through there maybe and answer? Maybe, you know, I'm sure you won't get too many, but... That would be a nice thing to do,
sure.
and maybe write down your, you know, how to get in touch with you and your, again, your
sure.
relationship lifeline.
And Donna, I just want to say, that the mm-hmm. book, How God Used the Other Woman, is on Amazon,
yes.
and I do the whole R3
Perfect.
In there. The Reveal, Rewrite, Renew is all in there. They can follow those steps.
And it's very powerful, I will say. I don't know if you heard me say, I let somebody borrow my book. They
yeah.
really needed it, and I never got it back, but that's okay. God knew that person needed it. I can order another one because it is a great book. And again, for those of you that just joined us, this is not just about a relationship with another person. It's about yourself, your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, and getting healthy, getting as healthy as you can be, so that you can be better in relationships and you can know where some of your stuff comes from and how to just how to have a healthier, better life. Yeah. If you have better relationships, have a better life. So, Tina, we appreciate you. We love you. Next time, we are going to have somebody help us do the split screen because we spent enough hours trying to figure it out. We're not dumb people.
Exactly.
We do a lot of techie things. So, anyway, thank you for joining us. Enjoy your time in Canada. I know you'll be back here this coming week, and we are going to continue for about 5 minutes with some announcements. So we'll let you go, and let's get together when you get back, okay?
All right, and I'll jump on there, and so people can I'll just jump on the Facebook, even though I can't join you,
perfect.
But I'll jump on there.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Robert Shuler Ministry, The Church with No Walls, and this is part of our ministry. We have a church service every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time. We have our call. We have a live church service in a parking lot at 10 a.m. And then on the 15th of the month, if it's 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 15th of the month, doesn't matter where we are, we get on Facebook and we get on the call, and we have this time together. So we've been doing this, as Donna mentioned earlier, for over 10 years.
The 15th of every month, coming to you from the most remote jungles of the Philippines and Africa and side of the road, driving down the Baja Peninsula, which is 1,000 miles from here. 1,000 miles long, I should say. And we are committed to this. We love this. We want to bring you guest speakers with incredible information as part of our ministry and part of our calling. So that's why we call it The Call.
Exactly. And your gifts make it possible for us to continue to do this. And so we want to encourage you to continue to support this ministry, knowing that the reason you support ministries like this isn't to keep them going as much as it is to keep you going, because it changes your whole perception of life. When you give, you open your hands. You let it go. And that means your hands are open so God can give you more. And he does. And he gives you what you need, not necessarily what you want. He gives you your heart desires, not necessarily a fleeting moment. And so he will bless you in ways you cannot even imagine, with joy, love, peace, goodness, and he'll care for you in every possible way. So if you wish to support this ministry, there's several different ways that we collect an offering. And one of them is a Venmo. You can Venmo us at Robert Shuler Ministries. You can also go online to our website. You want to discuss that a little bit?
DrShuler.com, DrShuler.
And that's .org.
Oh, .org. I did it now. I was given the wrong type. It's actually DrShuler.org.
I'm so glad you did
that. We tried to get .com. We couldn't. Somebody's got tied up. But that's okay. DrShuler.org, as an organization, nonprofit. And you'll see a little drop down. It says, I'd like to give. And by the way, a lot of you give. A lot of you people that listen, a lot of you individuals that listen to us and come Sunday morning or listen on Sunday morning as well are already very generous to this ministry. And we love you. We appreciate you. We couldn't do it without you. And then the other way you can give is through writing Robert Shuler Ministries at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Again, that's Robert Shuler Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Now, if you didn't get all that, scroll over the bottom of drshuler.org or robertshulerministries.org. Those are the same landing page. You can scroll all the way to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see that address down there. And I want to say something about our website. We have links to all of our videos. We have at least, oh my gosh, since we've been doing our Church Without Walls, we have 700-800 videos,
short ones,
long ones, church services, Christmas Eve services, all kinds of things, a couple of interviews. And you can find that on there. You can also find written articles that either Robert or I have written. They're 300 to 400 words each. They're not really long, but they are specific to something you may be going through, like relationship troubles, anxiety, depression, raising children. We've done a lot of that. We've raised four kids and we have eight grandchildren. Blended families. We're a blended family. We were both married before. And, you know, Tina alluded to that, but it never goes away because the children are older now. We have grandchildren we share with other grandparents, et cetera, et cetera. So we've written a lot about that. We've written a lot. I'm a nutritionist by education. I've written about health. Robert's written about mental and spiritual health. So go on the website and kind of check out that top row of things you can click on because, you know, you never know when you might need to listen to something or, excuse me, to read something that'll help you through a difficult, dark time. And, you know, that's what we're here for. That's our calling. We're here to lift you up and just to be inspiration. Well, you tell me. You are an inspiration distributor, right? And what does that mean?
We want to breathe the breath of life.
Yes.
That comes from the Holy Spirit of God into your heart and your souls and your minds and help you to live, not just exist, but live and live life to the fullest. So with that, I just want to say thank you for joining us. This is, you've been listening to the Robert Schuller Ministries, A Church with No Wall, and this is The Call. If it's 6 p.m. Pacific time on the 15th of the month, it's time for the call, and again, God is blessing you. Go with him, and if there's
see you next month.
we will be here again in February, the day after Valentine's, the 15th of the month. So remember, God is blessing you, and we'll actually be on tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
8 a.m. Pacific. So join us tomorrow morning if you don't have a place to go to church.
I'm
going to
keep the same background up.
So,
we'll have the books again tomorrow. So you have a great day, and we'll see you in the morning.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.